Blog Talk Radio.
We are go for liftoff in T-minus 30.
Hit the record button.
Today, but I don't feel the urge to scream. And I'm waiting for my guests, so I'm doing a couple things at the same time. Let's see if I can manage doing both. I have like a lot of things going on. Anyhow, welcome to Italo's Black Talk Radio, and this is Victor, your host. This show has a host. Unlike the Oscars. And I'm waiting for Spencer Frankberger, if he's going to be calling in just a few moments. He's parking. So wait until he parks and then we'll bring him into the show. He's such a busy man. Anyhow, welcome to our show. And we're going to be talking about the best Oscar race that seems to be very controversial, because as always, Oscars is controversial, right? Very political, very biased. I was just looking at the different movies that were not nominated this year, and I was surprised to see them too. So we'll just wait until Spencer comes in, because I want to discuss it with him, and he's not parked. I'm not looking at him. I don't know where he's at. But anyhow, so there are nominations, right? They were announced that there was going to be nine different nominations this year. And it was announced that these movies will be running for the Oscars race, for the best movie race, right? And where's my list? I apologize, people. I'm still waiting. Okay, so we have, hold on a second, let me just put my list. This list doesn't make sense. So, yeah, we have 1917, Ford versus Ferrari, Joker, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, The Irishman, Little Women, Jojo Rabbit, and Marriage Story. Those are the nominations. It's not 10, not 5, not 4. It used to be 4 before, right? Now it's like 9. Okay. I'm surprised they didn't put any animated movies in this category. And you know how they always keep changing the rules and none of the rules apply ever. So, and should there be any rules? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Anyhow, let's see if I can bring Spencer in right now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Spencer, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Did you park? Are you safely?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. I know you're good. I just want to make sure that you didn't run into any problems. Okay. So, welcome to the show once again. He's been in my show before, but we don't have much time to chat anymore because we got to go in a few moments too, and we have a lot to discuss here. So of course we're talking about the Oscar race, and I already announced all the 9 nominations, right? So let's talk about which one you want to talk about first, because I know that you've seen them all. I've only seen 5, so I don't know.
We could go alphabetical order, or we could go, because I was like, maybe my favorite to my least favorite, but I don't remember really the order specifically with that.
Okay.
I'm also just looking at the Wikipedia article, so we could just go in that order, too.
I know, right? I'm looking at it. Okay, so the first one I have in my Wikipedia, since we're doing Wikipedia here. So the first one I have is 1917.
Okay.
So what is your opinion on that movie? Since you have seen it, and then let's not spoil it for people that haven't seen it, like me. I haven't seen the movie.
Sure.
But it looks amazing, and it looks like one of those movies that should be nominated. So this one, I think it's good to have, right?
Yeah, I am. My thoughts on 1917 is I absolutely love the first half of the movie. I'm not going to spoil anything, but then the second half just felt like a different movie to me. So I wasn't really sure where it was going. I really loved the first half, really loved it. Thought the performances were great, but really what I love about that movie is the technical achievements, the cinematography, the costume design, and actually the editing. And I'm surprised it wasn't nominated for editing. That's kind of a big blow to that movie, I think, because it was edited to look like it was one shot. And I found myself during the movie trying to figure out where I could find the edits, and I couldn't. So I was really impressed with the editing, and it's kind of a shame that it didn't get nominated for editing, because it should have. But yeah, I think a lot of the technical stuff I really love about that movie. It's a very technical heavy movie. But yeah, I really liked it. I didn't like it as much as I had hoped. But I really, you know, 8 out of 10 is not bad.
I mean, comparing to, let's say, Saving Private Ryan, or does it live up to that level of war movie, greatest, you know, war movies ever, like Full Metal Jacket, or does it live up to that level of a movie, in your opinion?
I think it's hard to compare them because it's such a different movie. I think it's a great movie. I wouldn't say it's necessarily one that is going to be remembered for, like, you know, as much as Saving Private Ryan is. That came out, 20-something years ago? Like 22 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's been, might have been 25 years ago. That's a long time ago. But, like, I still remember Saving Private Ryan. Or, like, Full Metal Jacket from the 80s, I think, is when it came out, like 87 or 86. And so I remember seeing that one, and, you know, it was taught in schools. I saw it when I was in college. Different movies like that, I think, kind of withstand the test of time. And we'll see what happens with 1917, because I think one of Sam Mendes' biggest movies is American Beauty, which people still know. And that won, you know, Oscar for Best Picture back in the 90s. So I'm not sure if it's going to quite live up to what American Beauty has set for American standards or American classics. 1917, I don't think, is going to do quite that much, but who knows? It might be reevaluated and become one of the top war movies. I don't know.
Okay. Actually, I do like the one star before we go to the next one. I don't know his name. I don't know if it's George McKay.
Yeah, George McKay, yeah.
Right? Is that him? That's the one that was in Captain Fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the
kids,
right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just saw it. I just saw it like a couple of days ago and I was like blown away. Like I was so surprised. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting. And of course I turned it on like at 2 a.m. and I couldn't sleep. I'm like, that was the greatest movie. Oh my God. Like, you know, so anyways,
yeah. One of those movies that flew under the radar too. People kind of missed it. But it was a great movie.
Yeah, and Viggo Mortensen was great. But yeah, him, George McKay was the oldest son, right? So his performance was amazing because he was so torn, you know. Anyways, I don't want to discuss much about that movie, but we're talking about the Oscars and whatever, but we'll talk about it on another day. But, so 1917, we'll see if it's, you know, if it wins any awards, it will probably be, I think it will probably be cinematography or something, but we'll see how that.
I think it's pure cinematography, but it might have a real strong chance with picture too, because it won the Globe, that it might have a really strong chance for best picture.
Okay. Okay. How about Joker?
Okay, Joker. I have a lot of thoughts about Joker, but I'll keep it kind of condensed. I think Joaquin Phoenix is fantastic in the role. I think he's very good, and he is definitely one of the top performances of the year for me. As far as the movie, I felt like it was a bit disjointed overall. I loved like the last 30, 40 minutes of the movie, but the buildup for me was a little tedious and a little trying. And I know some people really, really love this movie, but it actually, looking at the nominations, it's actually got the lowest rating and the lowest reviews out of all the Best Picture nominations between critics. I'm not sure about audience, but specifically between critics. That also is something you feel. But it did win, I think, the Golden Lion in Venice, which is always a hit or miss. Sometimes, like, overseas critics and overseas audiences love it, and then American audiences don't really like it or get it. So this is one of those divisive movies that it's kind of like you really love it or you really don't. There's so much good stuff with that movie. So much is great about it. But overall, I was finding myself wanting the movie to end, which is not a great feeling usually.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is what made that movie so watchable. Like, his performance is so transformative. And also, I didn't even think about it. The person who wrote the score, I cannot pronounce her name, like Hilda Guanadier, something like that. I can't pronounce it, and I'm butchering it, and I feel bad. But I forgot how great her score is. And she won the Globe for score, and she's nominated for an Oscar, and she might win. But I forgot how, like, creepy and weird and kind of unsettling the score is, and that actually really adds to the movie too. And then, of course, like, hairstyle, makeup, costumes, like, all of that stuff is great. Again, technical stuff I think is really great with that movie. But it's
coming
from
the look
of
the movie. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's up? Sorry, no, go ahead.
No, I just thought that the look of the movie, the tone of the movie, the steps, of course, the steps. I think the look of Gotham City is so opposite of Tim Burton's version of Batman, right? So it's more realistic.
Absolutely.
It's more what can happen or is happening in America, and so that's probably why it's more disturbing to people more than, you know, like critical whatever or audiences whatever they think. I think Americans are very troubled, very, how can I say this? Yeah, they're uncomfortable. This is a movie that will make you uncomfortable.
And I think that there was like almost like this boycott at one point of people trying to get the movie to not get released because of the content and the context of the movie. And it's hard because it is a trying time in America, but I also think it's a movie.
Isn't it always?
And if we're now going to be, you know, copying exactly what movies are doing, then we as an American culture are not quite understanding how movies work. We shouldn't take movies and, use them as truth or fact. A lot of times they're based in truth or they're based in, you know, inspirational stories or whatever, but we shouldn't take what happens in a movie as fact. Even movies that are biopics or movies that are about, like, I mean, even 1917, which is a war movie, it doesn't mean every single thing in there is a fact because it's made for entertainment purposes. It's not made to state every single fact that happened, because then it would be a documentary or it'd be a lecture or it would be something that's not a blockbuster Hollywood type movie. Hollywood is creating a movie to emphasize different things or to exaggerate events in order to tell a story in an entertaining way. And so I think that we as an American culture need to really understand that movies and real life are two different things. And I think that that's the biggest issue with this movie was, is that people were worried that it was going to inspire real life problems, which it's hard because we are in this time, but again, it's a movie. And so I think that sometimes people read too much into a movie that's based, whether or not it's based in truth. And this is based on a fictional character. So really it's a little bit farther off the truth than you anticipate it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, I agree with it.
For another time.
Yeah, I know, right? Because we only have like a few a few more movies to go through. But yeah, I agree with what you said. Bottom line is, best movie of the year or best picture of the year, I don't know if Joker will be it, but I will say that Joaquin Phoenix deserves the best actor,
The interesting thing is, it's got the most nominations, I think, of any movie this year, and I don't think it's going to win. Like, it's not going to do Titanic gangbusters or anything. I think Joaquin Phoenix is, like, its best chance, and then possibly for score, maybe adapted screenplay if people are feeling a little crazy and wild in the Academy this year. But I think other than that, I think other categories are going to go to other nominees.
No, screenplay, I'll tell you which one's going to be screenplay, and I don't know if you've seen it. I'm jumping to another one. Marriage Story.
Yeah.
I thought the script was so well written and very. Oh my God! Let me switch to that. So yeah, Joker.
Yeah.
All right, we passed that. Now let's move on to another one. We've covered through two so far, so let's move on to Marriage Story because.
I was gonna say we should do Marriage Story because we were talking about it, about the screenplay. And I actually absolutely loved Marriage Story. I went in with the expectation of I have a type of movie that I like that I really like. And there's also a type of movie. There's a couple types of movies that I really can't stand at all. Marriage Story falls into one of those categories of a type of movie that I cannot stand at all. However, I was so enthralled by this movie. And I agree. The screenplay is so good. And I think the performances are great. And I was like, this movie's 2 hours and 20 minutes almost, and it did not feel like that at all. It flew by. I would have loved to have seen it on the big screen. I ended up just watching it on Netflix because I knew it was coming to Netflix, so I was like, I'll just wait. But I kind of wish I had seen it on the big screen because there's a lot of great cinematography even with it. But seeing these characters crumbling and really, like, trying to keep it together is just an incredibly depressing experience, but also something that's almost sort of cathartic in a way. And it's just such a simple story that dives into the complexities of life and living, not only just marriage and divorce and all this, but the way in which you carry yourself in the world between your family and your friends and other people. And there's so much life experiences happening within that movie that I think everyone in a way can relate, whether or not they're married or divorced or whatever, they can kind of relate to everything that's going on or something that's going on within that story, just about the idea of living. And so I really was impressed by the movie and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of Kramer. I said this before in another episode, but it reminds me of Kramer versus Kramer, the movie from the 80s, or Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep. They were separating and, you know, they had a kid. So this reminded me of that movie, but this is a lot better than, and I don't say this, you know, Kramer versus Kramer was amazing, but I think this movie was, it went deeper than that movie did. And I'll have to see it again. I don't know. But I just, that argument, Pete, the argument, it was the build up to that argument, and they put all the different, you know, clues along the way as to, I don't know. They built it so well. He built it so well. Whoever wrote it, sorry, I don't know who wrote it. Noah, the director, did it. Okay, so it was written, directed, produced by Noah Baumbach. Anyways, so he should deserves the Oscar for Best Screenplay. It was just great. Because, he put all these little clues along the way, and then when the time comes to give you that punch, I was not expecting. I'm like, ooh, that hurt.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. And I'm surprised at Adam Driver. I did not really like the Star Wars movies. Sorry to say that, guys. Darth Vader, I don't know. I don't think. Anyways. But
I haven't seen either.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't care for it much, but now Adam's Driver is actually up in my list. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm noticing. Not best actor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say best actor, but because Joaquin, I'm just going to win it. But I think Adam Driver is actually like, oh, okay, now he's being serious, staying away from, you know, CGI movies. That would be great.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, I was not really ever the biggest fan of Adam Driver. I was like, I'm not a big fan of his performance style, but in this movie, I was like, wow, I must have been missing something because he was great in that movie.
Yeah.
But I do agree.
He was.
Joaquin Phoenix was better.
Yeah. Right. And Scarlett Johansson was great too. I mean, she also surprised me again. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, she's up for,
they're coming back.
Yeah, she's up for two awards this
Everybody
year,
was
actually,
great. I mean,
crazy.
Everybody was great. Laura Dern was amazing.
Yeah.
So this is one of those movies where the whole ensemble, you know, supporting roles were amazing. So I don't know who's been nominated on this one, but Ray Liotta, Alan Alda, Laura Dern, all amazing people.
Scarlett Johansson and Laura Dern were all nominated, and I think Laura Dern actually is in the running to win it this year.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I agree. She was great. All right, so how many to go? God,
I think that
how
was
many time? How much
three?
Time do we have? 10 minutes. Okay.
I think we have 6 minutes still.
All right, Irishman.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, The Irishman. There's a lot of great stuff in that movie, and there's a lot of stuff that I was not a fan of. First and foremost, it's like almost 4 hours long, or it's like 3.5 hours long. There's a hard time because like The Godfather is 3 hours and I love The Godfather. It flies. Godfather 2 is 3 hours. It flies. You know, Goodfellas is long. A Tarantino movie, Inglourious Basterds, is long. Coppola, you know, I think Scorsese did Goodfellas too, but this movie was great. I don't think it needed to be 3.5 hours. Because there are moments where it just kind of drags and lags, and it's like, all right, let's get on with it. And I think that it felt a little self-indulgent at times, which I think there are some filmmakers like Scorsese, Tarantino, that make movies that are pretty self-indulgent, and sometimes you're on board for it. In this case, I wasn't always on board for it because it was just a lot that was happening that I was like, I need you to take the ego out of the movie and just present it as a movie. I also am so mad that I missed it in theaters. I wish I had seen it in theaters without interruptions and distractions because I was on Netflix. Oh, you did?
I saw it in theaters and I was so upset. I was like,
okay. So maybe
I'm tired. I'm tired. Yeah. Everyone was, you know, how people in the audience, they're very, you know, they get very unsettling after 2 hours and they started getting up and you don't want to see it in the movies unless you are prepared to sit down for 3.5 hours and that's impossible. Okay.
Right.
So without intermission. So anyway.
Yeah. And I was so excited to like really dive into it and watch it. And I was like, okay, I'll watch it on Netflix. And like about every like 45 minutes or so, I was like, I need a break. I need to go do something. Like it didn't. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked it, but it didn't catch my interest as much as I had anticipated. Or something like The Godfather, where you know I was like a high schooler, or like I was like I think
the
I was like
Taxi
like
Driver
in high school, and I put it in, borrowed a copy from the library, and sat and watched the whole thing in one sitting without stopping. I didn't even go to the bathroom or anything because it's such a fascinating movie. With this one, even though it's half an hour longer, it just felt like I was getting up every 45 minutes to an hour to just stretch my legs or do something or go get a snack or go do something because it just didn't engage me as much as I had hoped. And I won't even get started on the de-aging thing because I don't really even remember much of the de-aging process or whatever.
I did not like that at all. I'm like, you know what? Just make up, dude. Like, this is not, it's not that. It's not that important to... You know, we know, come on, we know De Niro, we know Al Pacino, we know Joe Pesci. We know how old they are. You cannot make me believe that they're in their 30s or 40s.
But they got nominated for visual effects, so what do you expect?
Whatever. I don't think it's going to win, and it shouldn't win for that. Nor direction, because Scorsese, as far as the director is concerned, of course, he's an amazing director. You know, Taxi Driver is my favorite. Cape Fear was great, and then Godfellas and all, Casino. What's that?
His movies are just too long. He doesn't know how to edit them. He just makes them very long.
I know. Right.
Wolf of Wall Street, Silence, they're all just long. Goodfellas, I mean, they're all like 2.5 hours.
And then you have the slow motion parts, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Okay.
I wish I was at home so I can just fast forward it through that. But anyhow, I mean, great movie. Not going to give it away from him. Yeah, the Irish movie was fine. Too long, for my opinion, and I agree with you. It just went on too long. So we only have 5 minutes, guys. So let's jump into Jojo Rabbit. I don't know. I haven't seen it. It looks amazing.
Okay.
It's very controversial.
But I really love this, and I had told my mom to go see it because my mom was like, what should I go see that was nominated for Best Picture? And I was like, I don't know if you'll like it or not. Jojo Rabbit, I was like, I really loved it. She keeps talking about how much she loves this movie, and my mom is she's probably pickier than me when it comes to movies. She absolutely keeps talking about the movie. She's like, I hope it wins Best Picture. She loved it. I mean, she saw Marriage Story. She saw Little Women. She saw Parasite. I mean, she saw a bunch of the nominations, and she is going on and on about how much she loves this movie. And it's very stylized because it's Taika Waititi, I think is how you say his name, but he did Thor Ragnarok, which is actually my favorite Marvel movie because it has that humor and that style that I really liked in it. And he did What We Do in the Shadows. He did another great movie, Hunt for the Wilder People, which I absolutely loved, which got completely overlooked in America, but it's a great movie. But his style is so fascinating, and it touches on a very sensitive subject in such a smart and funny way, and I never thought it would be possible that Holocaust could touch.
Sorry to interrupt you. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, you're good. I was gonna say the fact that it touches on the Holocaust in such a way that's not offensive, but it's still funny, is incredible. And it did pretty well, like, in a limited release to a moderate release. I think the critics are kind of mixed on it, but I think that's also because they're not so sure on the style. And it's apparently based on a book, which I also thought was interesting because it feels like an original movie. Because I think style is so unique that the uniqueness of the style doesn't feel like the book itself. But I absolutely love this movie. I wish there had been more nominations for performances because the performances were incredible, and I wish it had gotten a Best Director nomination. Because I
talked about the Best Director. So for those that don't know, I didn't know this. He plays the Hitler part, right? He's Hitler.
Yeah.
Taika David Waititi, I think is his name. He must be Hawaiian or something. Okay, I don't know.
He's from New Zealand. So
it's
like a specific culture in New Zealand. Yeah, there's like a specific type. I don't remember what his culture is, but it's like a small island in New Zealand somewhere.
All right. Yeah. He actually is the one from What We Do in the Shadows, right? He's one of the vampires.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so funny. Oh my god.
He directed it.
I thought
so.
Oh, he directed it. Okay. Anyway, I'm interested. I haven't seen it, and from what I saw, you know, the cinematography looks amazing. The look of the movie looks.
Yeah,
from the trailer. I mean, I was like, wow. Okay. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm biting the bullet here. I'm biting the you know,
and
I'm buying the trailer.
Yeah, oh sure. Scarlett Johansson's in it she's not in it that much, but she packs such a big punch in the little that she's in that movie. It reminds me of Viola Davis in Doubt when Viola Davis was in like one scene for like 8 minutes in the whole movie, and then she was nominated for the Academy Award for Supporting Actress, and that performance is so great. But I think that Scarlett Johansson kind of – it feels the same way. She's not in it that much throughout the entire movie, but she does so much with the little that she has in the movie. So that's what I think is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd almost argue it was a better performance than her performance in Marriage Story.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved her performance in Marriage Story. So.
Right. Wow, he was great. Well, Spencer, we only have a minute left.
I think we have to do a part two. We can knock them out.
What's that?
Let's do it.
I don't have any more. We will have to start over because I don't have time. It will literally cut us off. So let's just do another part. Yeah, Black Talk Radio is not going to allow me to do it again. So let's talk off the air and figure this out, and then I'll put it all together later because it's not going to make sense. But anyhow, we're going to cover the other movies in part two, which is coming right after this one. So you probably won't even hear this part. It's going to be cut off the editing room.